CliffCentral.com.
Greetings. Here he is. He's Ted.
Do I get a hug?
Yes, sit down here, man. Come on. We'll hug each other later. I only met you the other night. I'm not God, Jesus, you almost fell and killed yourself. Are you all right? Are you okay?
I'm fine, thank you.
Are you comfortable there? Are they looking after you?
No, they haven't given me any girlfriends or anything.
Oh, man, I'm sorry about that. I really wanted them to treat you like the prince you are. All right. How are you, sir? What's your story? I met you the other night for the first time. You were partying up a storm. You were having more fun than anyone else. And I suddenly thought, you know what? This is the kind of guy I would imagine it must be fun to be hanging out with. And you know, we spent a bit of time. We had a drink together. What's the background here? Apparently, you used to play professional tennis?
Semi-professional tennis, because in those days we got free accommodation and terrible Dunlop Maxfli wooden rackets that destroyed our elbows and destroyed our shoulders, and I managed to survive.
Those tennis rackets weighed about 8 times what a modern tennis racket weighs.
They did. And all they did was destroy your elbows, and you had tennis elbows and all sorts of pains and all problems.
But you're fit as a fiddle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're having a good time. How old are you now?
This year I'll be 32.
Come on.
In June I'll be 32, Gary.
Come on. What's the real age?
The real age. Have I got to really tell it on air?
Go on. It's time for the big reveal. Go 80, for it.
84, not out.
Well, I've got to tell you, if I can get to 84 and have as much life in me as you have, I will be a very happy man.
Thank you.
So, I saw you here on what was it, Friday night?
Friday night.
You were talking to girls a third of your age, a quarter of your age even, and they were captivated.
Quite obviously, it's quite natural. It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
What is it? What have you got? Some special magic going on there? You've discovered the elixir of youth?
I'm fantastically good looking, first of all.
That's true.
I'm gorgeous.
Who could argue?
I love myself.
Yes.
And it's the fact that I wear that captain's hat, which you've seen.
I've seen it with the big anchor on the front.
And that is a chick magnet, I can tell you.
It's a chick magnet.
And the shirt that I wear, which says how to pick up chicks, also helps a little. Although I don't really need it, Gareth. I don't really need it.
No, Ted, it's just lovely to see someone with a real energy and a desire to be alive and enjoy every minute.
I do. I love every minute. I'm grateful to God. I'm healthy. I have lovely children. I told you that night I've been married 22 times, no, 12 times, and I've got 34 children, but not totally true.
No, how many kids do you have?
I have 3 children.
Uh-huh.
One in South Africa, one in England, and one in Australia.
Well, thank God 2 of them aren't around, because then they would sit on you and they'd make you behave.
That's one of the problems I've had. They're actually embarrassed by my behavior.
Are they embarrassed? How dare they?
I think so.
Wouldn't they rather have you having fun than you sitting in an old age home being miserable?
I hope so.
Yeah. So what kind of a day-to-day life do you have? I mean, have you got comfort? Have you got the things that you need? Are you a happy guy? Do you keep very active? You drive yourself around? What happens?
I drive myself around. I work for a circus and get shot out of a cannon once a day. So that hurts my head a bit, but I've got
used
to it.
Does that pay well?
I've got used to it.
Does being shot out of a cannon pay well?
It pays well, because I work in England and I get paid in pounds. A couple of years ago, I met Robert Wilkie from Wilkie Circus, and he offered me a job at the circus after he heard that I got shot out of a cannon. But I said, no, I work in England. I fly out when I want to. And some months later, I got invited to his birthday party, and he said, well, what are you doing here? I said, I've come for your birthday. He said, look, he decided to give me a job being shot out of the cannon and being the clown at the same time.
Well, you seem capable of both. You're very entertaining to be around.
Thank you.
When you played tennis, you say semi-professionally. I mean, what does that mean?
That means that
you toured?
Before the times of actual being paid money, you were surreptitiously paid, given accommodation, but very, very minimal accommodation.
So you were basically hunting for freebies and living off your talent
on
the tennis court.
You've got it.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Did you win any major tournaments that we know of?
No, I didn't win any major tournaments, but I'm in a book called The World's Who Who of Tennis, amongst others, sort of very less known players like Bjorn Borg and Jimmy Connors.
Who are they?
I didn't know, really. They were around, but I didn't notice them often.
Did you meet these people?
I met various people. I met Lou Hode. Seeing you know my age now, Abe Siegel was a friend of mine. We played in a few tournaments, not together, against each other. And I used to play in these Southern Transvaal tournaments where it was before Gauteng, under 14, under 16, under 18. And, you know, you got chosen to play for Transvaal, or I played provincial baseball. So I've kept myself going, yes.
And so I mean, you were an Adonis of a young man. You were a machine. You could play any sport. You were very active. You were physically fit. Is that the key to being able to reach your 80s in good health and with the right attitude?
I think it's the attitude. I think it's the attitude and loving yourself and getting up each morning and being grateful for what you have.
Yeah. So what do you do? What's your daily routine?
My daily routine is trying to date all the young chicks I see, but I'm a little deaf, so when they say yes, I don't hear them.
So what's how young is the youngest, and how old is the oldest you're prepared to be with?
The youngest I'm prepared to be with is about 20.
No, yes.
I'm kidding, obviously. And the oldest would have to be around about 60, because thereafter...
They're just no good, huh?
They think I'm a village idiot. They really do, because I behave like as you've seen me behave.
Well, I don't have a problem with it, and I can't imagine a lot of people would. To me, it's a lot worse to be a misery and to sit around feeling sorry for yourself. And I'm not just saying that that's an age thing. I know people in their 30s who do that. You sit around, they have no desire to be alive. They talk slowly. They move slowly. They don't seem to be enjoying themselves. You almost think, well, maybe it would be better if you weren't here.
I think you're correct. You know, one of the things I found, and now I'm being serious, is that when I get up in the morning, I say to myself, today is a beautiful day. I'm grateful to be here. I enjoy myself. I go dancing. I go to various places to do the salsa. I'm the freak.
Can you do that hip thing?
I do the whole thing. I do the whole shebang. I can't do hip-hop very well. I can't do the sliding on my back and lifting my legs, but everything else I can do.
So you wake up early every morning?
No, I'm a bad morning person. You got me up early this morning.
What's the usual wake up time?
About 8 o'clock. Ah, 8:08.
That's very civilized. You see, that's the problem with a lot of people. They wake up too early.
Well, they get a bit too early, Gareth.
Yeah. Well, this is it. You need to recuperate. You need to sleep in a little bit and enjoy your life.
Yes.
Who wants to be up at 4 or 5 in the morning?
Not look at. They say it's beautiful. I haven't seen it very often.
All right, so then first thing you do, I mean, like, what kind of breakfast are we having?
I have yogurt. First thing I have, if you're asking me, the first thing I have is a mixture of ginger and honey and apple cider vinegar and cinnamon. And
that sounds revolting.
It is revolting, but it's good for me. And that's the drink that I have. That's the first thing I have in the morning, a mixture. I grind the ginger down and have it in the form of a drink.
Okay. Does it burn a little as it goes down?
It does. It's not tasty. It's not enjoyable. Oh, I forgot about the honey. The honey does help a bit.
Yeah, but you have this. You see, I'm taking notes because I believe that it's useless to just have a whole bunch of time. Imagine you're given a life 150 years. I mean, they say that there are kids being born right now who will live to 150, maybe even 200.
Mm.
And that's all good and well. But who wants to be 100 if you can't move around, if you don't have your faculties about you?
Absolutely.
I'm taking a leaf out of your book and I'm saying, well, if I take notes now, at less than half your age, I can reach your age and have a good life like you do.
You know, I had a massive heart attack 13 years ago, and it was another wake-up call. I used to worry about a lot of things that I shouldn't worry about, or that, but not never happen and didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
And the next part of I've had various things happening to me in my life. I've had to build myself up 3 or 4 different times, and I've got from the bottom and I've pulled myself up. And I live in an apartment, and I don't want to live in an old age home because I'm going to get older and older and older. and I'm a young old man.
Right.
In my mind. I enjoy myself. I feel when I walk into a room, and I'm really talking a lot, but...
No, this is why I brought you here to talk a lot.
When I walk into a room, I actually believe I'm bringing a bit of joy to people. I'm very confident when I walk in. People react to it and see a positivity about my whole being. I smile. Mm-hmm. I insult people.
Right.
I get away with murder. I walk up to couples and say to the man, you got better taste than her, and I haven't been punched yet. And I get away with it. And,
but isn't it quite cool that you can get away with just about anything now?
I can.
Kids can, and then when you get to about 80, you can again.
Yes, when I get to 80 again. Yeah. Yes,
when
I
get when to you 80. Eventually get there.
When
now,
I get there.
Can I ask you your opinion on a couple of important things? Maybe you can spread some wisdom and life lessons around here. So first of all, your attitude to relationships.
I feel very strongly about it. I make jokes about behaving the way I do and making it a bit flippant, but I believe that you have to give a lot of love out, and I try to give love out, and I think people who care for others and go into a relationship where they mustn't expect too much, they must expect equal or less. If you want to get love, you've got to give love, but don't expect more love back than you're giving.
That's fundamental, because people are out there, they're looking for someone else to fill their love measure up, right?
Yes.
And it's not going to happen.
No, Gareth, in my mind, there are too many needy people out there who try to suck everything out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be with people. If I see somebody and the karma's bad, I walk away. I use the word karma because everybody can use the word karma.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to give something to me back. There has to be some response from them. And then I enjoy the response and I enjoy the repartee. I met you the other night. I insulted you. You didn't take exception to it because no. I think you knew what I was saying.
I loved it. I thought it was refreshing. And like you say, you get something back from somebody.
Yeah.
You have a real interaction with them.
I do.
Every interaction's got to matter. And the worst thing that can happen is that you're sitting in a room with somebody and they're just miserable and sad and depressing and slow, and they add no value, and all they do is they suck your energy, right?
And they are so boring. They are so boring, Gareth.
The
worst.
They're
so boring. That's why I like being with younger people.
Sure.
And that's why I mix with younger people.
But age is not really important because, as I said earlier, you know young people, and I do too, who are terribly boring.
Who are old young people.
Right. Look at Ben.
I've had a good look at him. Well, I'm pleased I don't look like him, but
yes,
I've had a good look
Jesus.
At him.
Thank Jesus. All right, let's talk about your relationships or your thoughts on money. What do you think of money? In your 80-something years, what have you learned about money?
I've had my ups and downs with money mm-hmm. in 80 years. I've been down to nothing. I've been down to living in a little apartment in Yeovil where I didn't have a refrigerator, and my son lived with me, and we didn't have anything to put the milk in. And I started again, and I couldn't have started again, and now I'm being not religious. God helped me pull through that period
sure.
of my life.
Sure.
And not people. I had to pull myself up. People, I think, rely on other people to pull them up. And that defeats the purpose. You have to do it yourself. You have to do it on your own.
What about your thoughts on loneliness when you say you have to do it on your own? I mean, do you feel that life is a solo mission?
You know, loneliness is something that is brought on by the fact that you're not happy with yourself, that you're not happy with your own company. There are moments when I feel a little lonely, and I say to myself, hey, wait a minute, look what you've got around you. Look how grateful you are. You can watch TV, you can watch sport, which I love watching. I can read books, I can go outside, I can see the sun, I can go for a walk. There's so many things that are beautiful in life that I can enjoy without money, although you have to have money, obviously, to live each day. I've now reached a point in my life when I haven't got a lot of money, but I have enough money to keep myself happy each day.
Well, you see, what you also said there that is very poignant to me is that you fill up your day with things. You're not bored with living. And I think a lot of people – just don't, they're not interested enough in the world. There's so much stimulation out there, and now more than ever.
You know, there is so much to stimulate you with, and the joy of just bringing back dancing again. Yeah. Dancing has brought me so many friends, and I enjoy it so much, and it gives me such a stimulation. And music, I love music, I love blues, I love jazz. I have friends who are in the industry who sing. I go to places in Rosebank to dance, to listen to music. I still work. I've been an estate agent I'm only 32, as I said. I've been an estate agent for over 46 years.
Wow, you know the market, huh?
You've seen
some
market.
Ups and downs.
And the market has changed dramatically, if I may just say so.
Sure,
the bigger guys have got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And the smaller guys like me, who could sell myself to the person when I saw them at the door, have now got to speak through an intercom or say, do you want to sell the house? Do you not want to sell your house? I can't do that. I used to get the property to sell because I sold myself as I got to the door.
It was a personal thing.
It was a very personal thing. And now it's become internet and it's changed dramatically.
Do you think that we're moving away from each other even though we have more ways to connect?
Yes, we are definitely moving away. And I believe the personal contact's important and it's sad, in my opinion.
Yeah, you probably used to be able to walk up, as you say, to the door, knock on the door. Someone would answer. They'd open the door, first of all, instead of looking at you through a keyhole.
Absolutely.
Now they talk to you through an intercom.
Absolutely.
And they would be immediately suspicious these days. Before, they would go, hey, come in, have a cup of tea.
Absolutely.
Sit down, tell me your story.
Yes.
You'd get to know people.
Yes. There's a fear, unfortunately. You know, we used to do show days in the days gone by, and I never thought about watching anybody and seeing if they were going to steal anything while I was sitting there. Although, funnily enough, one day I had a very wealthy client who came in, and I was following him around thinking he looked very suspicious. He was in a pair of jeans like I wander around with it today.
Yeah.
And I followed him around, and in actual fact, he phoned me later. He said, you know, I'm the guy you kept on following around. I want to make an offer of 1 million rand on this property when properties were worth 800,000 or something.
Wow, okay.
So I learned my lesson. Don't always judge people by what they walk around in and what they look like.
Yeah, because that's a very good lesson to learn. I've heard stories about people who walk into car showrooms in a pair of shorts and end up buying the most expensive car there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What do you make of people's insecurities and their reasons to get upset? And, you know, there's so many things that when you have a perspective on life that I imagine you have now, that aren't important, that people get caught up in, that they start worrying about stuff that isn't, it's not important to the way that they're going to live their lives or the kind of things that mean something or matter.
You know, people are getting killed every day all over the place. There's the most horrific things happening, and then you have possibly a person in the complex you live in who's moaning about some water next to his door.
Yeah.
And it is so insignificant and so small for them to be petty, worrying about little things. And the same people are the same people that moan all the time, and they are miserable in themselves. So little things bother them, and little things don't bother me.
What kinds of things do bother you?
Rape of children, the inhumanity for human beings with their animals. You hear these terrible stories about donkeys being stripped for their skins. The rhino poaching really upsets me. The elephant poaching upsets me. I just feel that the humanity to animals is just horrific.
Is that especially because we're in a position of power over them? It's like, you know, again, you mentioned children just now. Anyone who's weaker than you and who doesn't necessarily have a means of defending themselves or speaking up for themselves, those are the people you feel bad for. Or the creatures you feel bad for.
I do. I feel very strongly about it. It's the most horrific thing in my mind when I read these stories. Terrible.
But I mean, aside from those things, you seem to be mostly on the happy side of things. You know, there's, as you said, reasons to wake up in the morning, reasons to smile, reasons to meet people.
I smile a lot, And I enjoy myself and I enjoy my life. I really do.
But have you experienced in your 80-something years a lot of heartache? Because that's also part of being a human.
Yes, I have. I believe, unfortunately, you have to suffer. It's sad to say, but you have to suffer to realize how important it is to be good to other people when you've been not always treated that well. And I've had some tough times.
Women? Children, what's been the most difficult thing?
You know, I want my children to be happy. I really want them to be happy. I want them to be happy in their lives. I feel helpless at times when one of my children are unhappy about something. I want to give them, not to put a discipline on their fingers to help them. I want to do more than giving a discipline on their fingers. And sometimes you're powerless because you can't do anything. You can't turn the clock. You can't change things. If I had that power, I would do it.
But they're lucky to still have you for in some ways. I mean, I don't have any of my grandparents around. They're all gone. And I think a lot of people are fearful of their parents dying and their parents not being with them anymore. I mean, you've still got some life in you yet. You can go and buy a whole bunch of green bananas and not have to worry, you know?
That's true. My father died. You said you haven't got grandparents. My father died when I was about 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
So I feel very strongly about my children.
Mm.
And I wanted them to have a father. And there's some things in my life where maybe I haven't been as the best father. I've always given them love. Mm. I may not have given them enough mercenary money-wise benefits, but they've always been, I think, short of my love for them. I'll be very, very strongly about it.
But isn't that the most important thing you can give?
It is the most important thing. There's another thing, and I'm talking on a talk show over here, and I'm actually letting my heart go out. And
that's okay. I won't tell anyone.
And probably nobody's listening. But anyway,
no people.
Because they tell me you're not the most popular radio station.
Oh, really? Who's been telling you that? Who's this fucking person?
I bumped into about 2 billion people. I've actually did a survey before I came this morning.
All right. So then, just watch what you say. You know,
I'm going to watch
one or two people.
I want to walk out of life.
No, you said you were going to tell me something important there. Don't dodge the conversation you were going to have.
And what is it that is so important?
Well, you were going to tell me something. You said you're baring your heart here. You're talking about things.
What I'm baring in my heart, I'm saying things over here which I perhaps feel in my heart, but I've actually opened up to you today because you've approached me in the way that I accept and happy to be able to talk to you openly.
Well, I'm glad. Do you have things that you really want to achieve at this age? Are there things that you wake up and you go, listen, I'm going to do this. Like a 20-year-old gets up and goes, I want to be rich. I want to be famous. I want to be powerful. I want to be successful. I mean, are there things, particular goals that you want to achieve?
I think every day that I want to achieve something. I actually went for an audition yesterday for you talked about this place we met at. A lady walked up and said to me, do I want to be a model?
Oh, wow.
Do I want to – would I come in and have my pictures taken and then get into shows, not pornographic shows?
Thank God. I was going to ask because, you know, there are different categories of that for everything now. You never know.
And eventually she sent me some she invited me to go to some auditions. I went to one yesterday, which is being made by one of the crisp manufacturers, and it's where you have to – I'm going to have to eat the crisps.
It's like a TV commercial?
It's a TV commercial.
That could pay very well.
That could, and I've been to a few others over there. There was one part I was offered in a French film, and I lost out. I was the final two, where I had to be the life and soul of a party, which you've obviously seen.
That's
I can
not
be.
An act for you.
Not an act for me. It's easy. It's simple. It's
Ted,
natural.
Ted, you've got to become a famous star now. This is the thing that's waiting for you. You've been practicing your whole life. You've been keeping fit. You dance. You can act. You're looking good. I mean, why the hell not?
Well, many, many years ago, Roy Rooster and the Personality Magazine, which maybe nobody remembers, put me on the cover of their magazines as a Marlon Brando double.
There we go. See? And so, Marlon Brando, of course, didn't look after himself, and look what happened to him.
I hope I don't look like he looked like when he died. Let's
no,
put it that
you're
way.
In better shape than him now than when he was alive.
I would say so.
Talking of great people, now, at your age, you have been able to see Mr. Gary Player's career from day one. Was he the greatest South Africa that you ever saw?
He certainly had the most unbelievable when I say talent, he worked so hard at what he did. He deserved everything that came to him. He's the most phenomenal man. I mean, I could never hope to, I don't mean to achieve what he achieved, but his fitness levels.
He's fitter than you? If you had to arm wrestle
I tell you, he can't dance like me, but he's got a better swing than me.
All right. Well, I mean, then you win on one category. Nothing wrong with that.
And I think I'm better looking.
So the audition, I just want to go back to the audition for a second. So you got another one today.
I'm going to do another one today.
Is that what you said? There's another second round of auditions today.
No, they're going to let me know if the film's going to be shot. The TV commercial's going to be shot in Cape Town. I hope to know today whether I've been the man that they've chosen.
When you went for the audition, were you up against some younger men?
No, they're
older men.
Well, actually, what happened was they were looking for Japanese men and Mexican men.
You're not allowed to say Japs anymore.
I beg your pardon, Japanese men. And I left my moustache at home, so I didn't get the job as the Mexican. I told them I was the 20-year-old Jap that was looking for the job of the 20-year-old Jap, but I didn't get that either.
Oh, well, you know, we've got to work on that. Makeup can do amazing things these days.
I believe so. I came with makeup today. I thought this was a live show.
Well, it is live. It's just on radio.
Don't I look great?
You look fantastic.
You do.
Yeah. All right. So what kind of fitness regime are we following? You mentioned the dancing, but do you go to the gym?
I was going to a gym. Now I do exercise at home. I do exercise every morning when I get up, stretches.
That's important.
I go for walks. I used to play a lot of golf. I've got bad knees. So I'm battling with my golf at the moment.
Don't you think it's unfortunate that our bodies are not able to sort themselves out? I mean, everybody has knee problems eventually, right?
Yes.
It's the joints.
Yes.
The joints are the problem.
Yes.
We should have better mechanisms for these goddamn joints.
Yes. Well, I must tell you something, that 8 years ago I had a replacement shoulder, total replacement of my shoulder, where they put in a prosthesis, and they had to teach me how to use my shoulder again. It's not like a knee or like a hip. You have to learn the motions of how to use your arm.
How many years ago?
8 years ago.
And you've got it working like a bum now.
The surgeon who did it was quite fantastic. He really was. And the prosthesis, thank goodness, after the terrible pain I had a torn rotator cuff. He sorted that out, and they put the prosthesis in, and it's worked fantastically up to now.
Sex at 80. Come on. Level with me here. Do you ever change? Do you ever stop as a man?
No,
being
you don't
turned
stop.
On by women.
No, never.
Do you ever stop thinking about sex as a man?
Because never.
I hope one day to be, you know, a broad-minded, self-actualized person of some new level of superior spiritual and mental acuity. But all I'm going to be is a horny old man, right?
That's the most wonderful, wonderful thought. Most wonderful thought. I'm not sure, having a good look at you, I'm not sure if you're going to make it.
Oh, really? You think I might not reach those levels?
I'm not sure about that.
You think I'm unfit?
But you might never ask me back to do a talk show if I say what I have to say.
Tell me. I want to hear. I need some feedback.
Ted, I'm pretty sure this is going to be once-off. Gareth's very picky, so lay it on hard.
Go on.
Well, look, I've looked at you in action, and I've looked at myself in action, and there's a big difference.
You're more energetic than me.
Definitely.
No. Do you think I've got a bad attitude?
With me, you didn't have one. You may have one. No. In actual fact, I'm a little biased. I don't know, for some reason, I like you.
All right. Well, that's a good start. I need as many endorsements as I can get. So when you are looking for action in your 80s.
Yes.
I mean, are there a lot of women available? Are women as – because women seem to me to – they get less interested in sex as they get older.
I think they probably do. But I'll tell you one of the things that is that if I really was 32, hell, would I be having a ball today? Would I be having the time of my life?
So if you could go back, you'd have more sex.
Yes.
In other words, any young man listening to you now, get out there and score left, right, and center.
I think you've got to move.
Yeah.
I think you must move, but you must make the effort.
When last did you have sex, Ted?
Not No comments.
No, come
I'll
on.
Take the fifth. I'll take
please,
the fifth.
Please, I need to know. Is it months ago? Is it weeks ago? Is it days ago?
It's a good few months ago.
Okay. Was this a younger woman?
It was a younger woman. In the last, I've been divorced for many, many years. Mm-hmm. In the last, I've been divorced for maybe 28 years or so.
How long did you wait until after the divorce before you started playing the field again?
Not long.
Okay, good. No, that's healthy.
I felt I was married to a wonderful lady. Mm-hmm. A very good person, a very loyal person, a very down-to-earth person.
Yeah.
There's some things in my life I feel I shouldn't have done, which I did.
Sure, we all have regrets.
So I do have regrets about that because she really loved me. And eventually, after you get divorced, you realize that life goes on.
Did you two fall out of love or did you cheat on her or what was it?
I cheated on her.
Oi, Vesmia.
Yeah, that wasn't very clever.
With a younger model?
No, not with a younger, well, slightly younger.
Okay.
Yes.
Prettier?
That would be not, but wouldn't be fair to say.
Oh, okay. But you cheated, and for what it's worth, you kind of regret doing
it. I do regret it, yes.
You see, it doesn't matter how old you are as a guy. Sometimes you just do stupid stuff, right?
I think you do. It's one of those things in your life. You're married to, I don't know if it's a 7-year marriage itch or the 10 or whatever it is, but something happens, and then you go into it and you get involved in it, and then the repercussions are that you feel that you can't carry on with it because you've got children and you have – I always felt very strongly about my children.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that it wasn't right to leave, and I didn't at the time. And then, of course, it festers on over the years.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you have this guilt complex, and it's true. You do have a guilt complex about it.
But you eventually have to learn to forgive yourself. Otherwise, you're just going to live in a cloud.
You do. I think you must forgive yourself eventually, yes. And you have to carry on with life, absolutely.
And hopefully, I mean, you end up with as full a life as it seems you're living, because it does sound to me like you've really done a lot of exciting things.
I have done a lot of exciting things. One of the funniest things I ever did was when I was playing tennis overseas, I got this tennis elbow, so I needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
I needed something to do.
Right.
And I got a employment at a place called the Hammersmith Swimming Pool, where I was a lifesaver. They didn't ask me if I could swim.
Yeah.
And I don't swim very well. And right. I don't hear very well either. And I don't see very well.
Yeah.
I never did. I was always short-sighted. And eventually they moved me to...
not a good lifesaver.
They moved me to one of the coastal towns where I was a lifesaver. And I used to sit on top of this, these structure they have. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody drowned, but I'm not sure because I couldn't see and I didn't hear. But there are a lot of people who live in England, so maybe 20 died or drowned.
You're telling me you're the original... Baywatch.
I was a little Baywatch man, yes. I mean, I was really sexy in those days.
Sure. I could imagine you running up and down the beach there and women getting very excited.
Yes, not like Charles Atlas, but I had quite a fair
look,
build.
Charles Atlas, that's a long time ago. Let's
that's
say David Hasselhoff.
Ago. No, you don't even know who Charles Atlas is.
No.
No.
I really don't.
But you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Tell us about Charles Atlas. Who was this man?
He was a man who kicked sand in somebody's face, and then I'm trying to remember the rest of the story. And eventually he decided to build himself up and became like a Mr. Universe.
Oh, really? Mm. And Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He was an Arnold, yes. Maybe not as big, maybe not as strong.
Probably less drugs, that's why.
Well, exactly. You know, those were the days. You've lived through world wars.
Yes.
You've seen man land on the moon.
Yes.
You've seen the invention of television.
Yes.
The internet.
Yes.
When you watch TV now, what kind of stuff do you watch?
I watch a lot of sports. I love sports. I'll try to watch a lot of I listen to a lot of music.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other stuff that I watch, but I like Two and a Half Men, which has been going for years because it's
funny.
Did
you prefer it with Charlie Sheen, or do you like the new
cast? I definitely preferred it with Charlie Sheen.
He was better,
Charlie
right?
Sheen was just the character that was perfect in it.
There's Charles Atlas. Ben just found a picture.
I just found a Charles
Atlas. There's not a single color photo of Charles Atlas.
And that's not me.
That's amazing. There's no ab. There's no six-pack there. He's just physically healthy.
And seeing I'm opening up, I'll tell you another funny story about I don't know if you know the late Bill Flynn. He was a really good friend of mine.
Of course, a very funny man. He used to be a well-known actor.
He was very funny. Yeah. And Bill invited me to the premiere at Village Walk of his film, Heel Against the Head.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And he told me to come dressed as I was going to a rugby game.
Okay.
And I decided to be ridiculous, and I wore my underpants on the outside as well as wearing my underpants on my inside. And I arrived there, and he said, "Don't tease Nasbuta. Don't tell him that his pants are clean and he never gets them dirty, because Nasbuta is going to punch you. I'm telling you now." Anyway, eventually I got called to the stage as the best dressed man.
Right.
And I tripped on the stage, and Paul Schlapperbursky, or whatever his name is, similar to that, said, "You've just won the prize." So I said, "Well, I probably won it because I've got my underpants on my outside." But that's not the end of the story, because I walked out, and all of a sudden there were all these cameras facing me, and a woman walked up and said, "What do you think of the Springbok rugby team?" So I said, "Look, it's not bad, except I think that Andre Joubert should be in the team, even if he's the hooker." And I forgot about it, and this was all being recorded on Boots and All. And I have relations in Australia who have the same name as me, and it's a very rare name.
Yes.
And they happened to show Boots and All in Australia, and my son phoned me and said, "Look, he's not very happy."
They were embarrassed
by it. His wife is definitely not happy with me being on a TV with my underpants on the outside, from what I remember. So there's the story.
I love this. Do you watch the news and get annoyed like the rest of us?
Yes, I do. I get absolutely – I sometimes start shouting at the TV.
Yes. No, I would imagine that's what many of us do. You see, you don't – my dad's doing that. I know I'm going to end up doing that.
Don't you do it yet? Is there an age situation?
I don't get upset. This is important. I think stress, you comment on this before I give my opinion. Stress is a killer, right?
It is a killer. It is a killer. But I don't say I'm never stressed, because I still work, as I said, and I work as a estate manager at a complex. And there is stress there from time to time. Not an enormous amount of stress, but these little things do get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm stressed out, and then I say, "Hey, wait a minute, you know, just try and live, forgive it. If people are being nasty to you, just walk, leave it. Don't respond."
Not every fight has to be fought.
No. Well, this is what I've learned. Yes, because you respond, you're actually lowering yourself to their level, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you read the obituaries and check how many of your friends are still going?
They're not too many of my friends that are still going, I don't think. But I don't read the columns, because I don't buy the paper to read that column.
Yeah. Well, who buys the papers these days?
You know that the papers, in my mind, have the Star newspaper, and I'm bringing up the Star, I think was a fantastic newspaper. I don't think it's what it was. No. I don't think the Sunday Times is what it was. It's just my thoughts about it.
No, I think.
Or the standard of reporting.
Ted, that's not a Ted thing. That's everybody agrees. That's why nobody's buying the damn thing.
Yes.
So it sits there, and maybe they got 20,000 subscriptions if they're lucky.
Yes.
But where do you find out? I mean, how many of your friends are still going? You must have outlived a few of them.
I think I have outlived quite a few of them. One of the issues, of course, is that when I used to play a lot of golf, I used to see a lot of the members. Mm-hmm. And now I've stopped playing, so I miss the repartee of walking on the first tee and saying, "Do you give up?" even before we start, because I felt I was unbeatable, irrespective, of course, with a handicap, naturally.
You ever go to funerals and pull faces at people and say, "Look, I'm still alive, you son of a bitch"?
No, I don't go to funerals like that, but I go to places like you've been to, and I pull my tongue out at them and put my fingers at them.
I love it. Are you... are you planning anything big for this month in terms of parties? Have you got anything big on the schedule?
I'm going back to the place we went to the other day.
Right.
On Sunday, unless I'm chosen to be this wonderful guy, the messy guy eating the chips.
Then you're going
to
be in Cape Town filming an ad.
Then I'll be in Cape Town. So I'm waiting to hear.
What a life. You've done it all.
And I'm going to go dancing next week somewhere in Braamfontein and do the salsa.
Hopefully you meet some lovely woman.
And
I always strike up a hot relationship.
Well, there's always that hope, but I certainly I always find people walking up to ask me to dance. So,
what a guy!
That joy I do have.
Ted, I'll tell you, you're an inspiring guy. I'm very happy I met you.
And you know, I'm very happy I met you. I wasn't sure how you were going to conduct this whole interview, and thank you for the way you've done it, because it made it easy.
Well, what can I tell you? You really are inspiring. There are people all over the world who For some reason, they just don't have the answers you have. And I knew it would be worth having you in here to give us, to dispense some of your wisdom and share it with us.
I'll tell you one other thing. I often have, and I, it's strange, but I have men walking up and saying, can I have a hug? My father never gave me a hug.
Oy.
And maybe I give that emotion out that I'm prepared to do it. And people walk up and say, you're an inspiration. And how old am I? And the question is, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? And, of course, my answer is always, I'm 32.
Hmm.
And they don't believe that, and they'll say, well, I'm 95.
Yeah, you're an enigma. They can't figure you out.
No, they can't.
I love it.
They can't.
Long live mysterious people who have an interesting story. And you know what? The if you were in professional tennis now, you'd beat Roger Federer. I have no doubt. If you were his age, you'd easily beat him.
I think that I would, in my mind, I would feel I could beat Roger Federer. I believe I can beat anybody. But you just have to accept what happens in life.
You like being you.
I love being me, Dareth. I love being me.
Yeah, well, there we go, man. Thank you so much, Ted.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
Pleasure to meet you. Ben, have we got the news ready? Ready to go on this front. Let's wrap it up for this morning. Coming up, Alan Ford with the Unview. He's here. He's ready to kick some backside. Ted, what a pleasure to meet you properly. Stick around and come visit us anytime.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you again.
I will. Thank you.
I'm sure we've only scratched the surface in terms of learning about, you know, the way to live your life.
And I'll try and fix you up with one of my rejects.
Please. What can I do? I mean, anything would be a victory at this point. You know? Some of us are not as fortunate. Some of us are not as confident. Some of us are not as good looking and youthful. CliffCentral.com.